All right, everybody, another edition. This is a super cool one. This has a lot of things that we've been talking about make mm-hmm. and ask. So we have a super cool guest on today. This is The Vital Wire. All right. I'm going to let Erica do the introduction on this. How about that? You good with that?
Sure.
This was your doing. You got us into this mess.
Oh my goodness. We're not a mess. What are you talking about? Well, I'm really excited to have Ashton with us today. I started, as a lot of our listeners know, I started working out with the Lululemon Studio Mirror. Almost 6-7 months ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so many classes on there, and I just started going through and I found this trainer, Ashton, who I just really, really loved because she empowered you through the workouts. She encouraged you and also went through technique, which made me really interested to see her background. So then when she started telling me her background, I was like, oh my gosh, she's a dancer. Yeah. And fun fact, I'm a dancer. And so is Aaron. Yes. So we were like, this is perfect for not only our clientele, but just the way the body works and everything. And it just made me really excited to reach out to you and see, like, is this possible? Can we have you on so you can kind of tell us how and why you decided to do what you're doing?
So thank you, Ashton, for being with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So go. I'll let you introduce yourself.
I said this earlier, but I'm so excited. My name is Ashton Fallon Rothschild. I now say my whole name mainly because of Jaren, another studio trainer. He was like, you got to always say your whole name when you introduce yourself. I'm like, okay, I'll start doing that. So I'm one of the Lululemon studio trainers. And fun fact, this is my first podcast. So I'm very excited.
Yay. Awesome.
Really lean into community. So I'm super excited that it's with one of my community members. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So with that, like I said before we started, I feel like you have your own room in our house. So we feel like we practically live with Ashton from a distance. But it's super cool. I know she's been very, very excited with your workouts. But before we jump into that, we've already kind of let the cat out of the bag that Lululemon is kind of how we've gone about this with the studio. But give us an insight on Ashton. Give us, where'd you come from? All the good stuff. How'd you grow up? Mm-hmm. How did you end up to where you are today?
Of course. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'll try to do like a shorter version of this. So I am originally from Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a fairly small town. It's the college town. So the University of Tennessee is in my hometown. It's gotten a lot bigger over the past few years, which is exciting. I am the baby of my family, which I think I like to bring that up because it's definitely shaped who I am and the personality that I have 100%. And it comes out in little fun ways. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. My mom grew up with an athletic family, from my cousins to my own immediate family. And so ever since I was a child, sports, athletics, like taking care of your body, eating healthy, it was kind of ingrained in me. I played soccer. I also did track. And then my main love was dance. And I grew up as a competitive dancer. And it's funny because when I was in fifth grade, no one believed me, but I was like, I'm going to go to school in New York and I'm going to go live in New York. And everyone's like, oh yeah, yeah. Just a kid dreaming. Hmm. Fast forward to graduating high school, I moved to New York, and that is where I went to college. And then after college, got into my professional dance experience, my dance world. And that was fantastic. And then I always knew this was going to happen. I went from a professional dancer, got always staying in line with fitness. Like fitness and cross training was always super important to me. And then COVID happened, and that's kind of where my career pivoted. And I got even more into fitness and kind of said bye to my former professional dance life, which it's hard to say because when you've been doing something for so long and then it's like, you break up with it. That's what it feels like with dance. Mm-hmm. So I obviously still dance. I love dance. I still teach some of the dance classes at Lululemon Studio. That is kind of my journey thus far.
So you said you're the baby of the family, Yeah.
Yes.
So how many siblings do you have?
Yeah, I have an older brother who is amazing. His name is Baron, and I have an older sister named Dara, and I'm the baby. By like 12, my sister's 12 years older than me, and my brother is 9 years older than me.
Oh, wow. That's very awesome. Cool.
Yeah, I was a planned afterthought. My mom had this like crazy procedure to, she just thought she was done having kids, and then she decided, no, I want to have another one, and then I came out.
Aww. That's awesome.
Congratulations, Ashton. That is super awesome, actually. Well, they've already kind of alluded. We obviously, Erica's dancer. Erin is our athletic trainer on staff, and she is also a dancer and 6-time national champion dancer. And then awesome. Erica said, you're a dancer. So we are very, very ingrained in the dance world. Our goal at this point is to really showcase and give back to a lot of the dance world for what they deserve, some recognition, like colleges and things like that. We love to be able to give back to dance. And that's so... When you say professional dance career, mm-hmm. what is it you did? What was professional?
So one of the things living in New York City, I guess there's a lot of the biggest thing that makes you a professional dancer is you're obviously paid and contracted to do mm-hmm. jobs. And mm-hmm. so that's what it entailed. Because of my height, and my athleticism, my professional dance career included a lot of stuff that involved like New York Fashion Week, for example, but also stunt shows. So I've kind of delved in a little bit of it all. I did a show in Japan with Tony Award winner Hinton Battle. He's a big Broadway guy and he's super famous in Japan, and he brought this whole show there. So that was cool. I got to live in Japan for a few months. I also did Feld Entertainment. They do all like the Disney on Ice. They did a huge production of Marvel Universe Live. It was a stunt show.
Wait, and I played, so fun.
It was wild. It's like my crazy fun fact. I played Captain Marvel. So I flew around arenas and like, we did this whole show for kids. It was super fun. I've done a bunch of the New York Fashion Week jobs. I've done modeling jobs. So it's a wide range of different opportunities. And shout out to my agency, MSA Agency. They're one of the biggest dance agencies. So I work with them and they help get me all the jobs I've landed.
That's so cool. I love that so much. How do you think your professional career and also just your career in dance like brought you to the world of fitness where you're at now? Like, how do you think that influenced the way you teach and then also the fact that you wanted to become this teacher in the studio?
100%. From the start of my career in dance, if you were to ask me, like, what was your favorite type of job? Being on stage, modeling, camera work was 100% it. Like, I've done some music videos with artists where, like, I've been on set for... or just even commercials, and I've been on set for hours, and it's so, I just love the camera. It invigorates me. It's so fun. It like lights me up. And so having the opportunity to teach on camera just felt like the perfect fit, because I was like, oh my gosh, wait a second. I'm going to be able to be on camera, which I love. I love camera work. It's so fun. It's just something about it that really clicks with me. But the best part is I'm not playing a role or having to take emotional direction from a director. This is just, I get to be me and be so authentic to who I am. And that was one of the, and still is like one of my favorite parts about the job is like, oh my gosh, it's almost like this full circle moment where yes, I did sports. I love athletics. I've always worked out. I've always loved dance. And it's kind of Lululemon Studios giving me the opportunity to combine both of those worlds in like a really nice way.
Mm-hmm. That's so fun.
Man, that's just the opposite of me. I'd prefer to be off camera. You can have the limelight all you want.
My husband too. My husband is so funny. I swear, like his social media consists of like probably not even 50 posts. And I mean, we've been together for, it's almost 13 years. And I swear, like the only time he posts on social media is like my birthday or something. Like he's not a social media guy at all.
Him he's and like, I get along great. The camera.
So how did you and your husband meet then?
We met when I was 19. I'm 32 now. And we were in college and we went to college together and we had mutual friends and we met between our mutual friends. And the craziest part about that story is the friend that set us up on our first date is one of my best friends. Her name is Mary Lou. And just to show you how small the world actually is, and I'm a big believer in God and like the universe being created. Mm-hmm. Mary Lou and I ended up at the same university in New York City, but we met when we were 15 years old because our families went on the same cruise ship. It's wild.
No way.
She's from the Dominican Republic. I'm from Tennessee. It just so happened we reconnected at university because she was dating one of my guy friends. And then she hooked a sister up with her husband.
So aww. That's super cool. And now from classes with you, your husband is Greek, correct?
Yes, yes. He's Greek.
Okay. I'm Greek.
Very, very much
so. Very Greek. My dad is actually from Greece. He's from the small fishing town Previsa. And so that was really funny when I saw that. And it was just on a class. I like literally, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, you said that on one of your classes. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How fun.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Connected now. I talk to Chris Ryan, another trainer, about this all the time because his wife is Greek. And I'm like, I feel like we're just so much closer now.
It's true.
I get it. Like your wife
takes
Greek
a Greek to know a Greek.
Mm-hmm. She told it to me. She's like, oh, sorry. Go ahead. There's a little bit of a lag. Sorry.
No. Tell me. I want to hear.
No. When we first met, she's like, yeah, my dad's from Greece. You know, once we got to that point of learning each other, I was like, and most everybody's probably like, oh, okay, that's cool. It's like, no, his name is Sotirios. Like he's from Greece.
Yes.
You're probably going to have a hard time understanding him. His accent's kind of thick. Like he's off the boat Greek. So I totally understand.
That's what I say too. I tell people all the time, he came over on the boat.
So funny. I love it so much though. I think the Greeks are the best culture and the way that they're so hospitable. And one of my other core, I know we were talking before this episode started about our core values. One of my top one is family. Mm-hmm. And I love that about Greek culture. You guys are so family oriented and it's just so lovely.
Yes. No, that's definitely something that I can also attest to is the Greeks love to champion. Mm-hmm. They love to love on you and love their community, and the family is huge. So I totally agree with that. It's super fun.
Well, next time we meet, we'll have to make sure it's not for the podcast. We'll have to go out to like a Greek restaurant. It will be fantastic.
Heck yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've got a place here in St. Louis called The Hill, and it's very much a mixture of Italian, and there's like almost like it seems like a dividing line where it's like Italian and Greek. So depending on what it is you want, if you want to explore the cultures or if you're a part of that, we have a lot of, you know, that culture here in St. Louis. So yeah, absolutely. Whichever way either of us go, we'll find a Greek restaurant somewhere.
100%. I love that.
Yes. <It's a> day. That's perfect. Oh goodness.
So going back to I would love to go down the fitness route and things like that, because there's a lot that we're starting to roll out on the Pure Athlete side of things as well. So we're starting a sub brand and probably a whole different, not different company, but a whole nother company called the Pure Athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all based on mental, physical, and relationships for student athletes, and providing resources for student athletes and their parents that just need to trust somewhere to go. Who else can I get them in connection with? They don't want to listen to us. So we need resources. But I wanted to know, kind of as you came up as an athlete and all those things, like what was your biggest obstacle as you were growing up doing all of those things?
For sure. My biggest obstacle was actually that from the mental perspective, when I made the decision, I was going to New York City, and this was junior year in high school. I started to get really bad, like separation anxiety, just started having horrible anxiety. And my parents were like very concerned about me. They're like, are you sure you want to move to New York? Are you sure? And I was like, yes, yes. Like, I know there's a purpose for me to be there. Like, this is a trying time. I'm clearly going through this for a reason. And one of the things that I really leaned into that I think shaped me not only to be the dancer I was, but also the trainer that I am, was I was never a big fan of like, let's put a Band-Aid on it. So when I had anxiety, my mom's like, do you want to get like medication? Do you want to go to the doctor? And I said, absolutely not. Like, it is for some people and it can work wonders for some people. For me, I've always been very sensitive to medication. I don't like it. Like Advil's about all I take. And I just wanted to work through it. And the one thing that really helped me work through my anxiety to the point where like now it's pretty much non-existent. Like I still have my moments, but it's been fitness. Fitness and moving my body has been a godsend, almost to the point where if I go for a period of time and I haven't moved my body, I can start to feel that anxious energy coming back. And so I would say fitness has been such an important part, one of the most important relationships in my life. And it really has been my medicine in a lot of ways for my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's super cool.
Mm-hmm. That's- I can attest to that too. I feel like anybody that works out, you get that immediate endorphin rush and you're like, whew, I could literally take on the world. And like going from working out one time a week when I had the opportunity to being able to work out almost 6 days a week, if not six to every day, days a week.
Yeah.
I can tell personally my entire mood shifts. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday I didn't get to work out and I woke up this morning and I was like, I ain't having it.
Yeah.
I was like, already my it's mood so was true. Different. Mm-hmm.
It's so true. I mean, even as for like athletes, the biggest and like thinking about the biggest obstacle, it's, you know, I always did multiple sports. And when the anxiety started to come on, we'd be on the way to a dance competition. And my mom is like, are you going to be okay? And I was like, I'm not okay right now. I'm so anxious, but I know I will be okay the second I get into that convention mm-hmm. room and I start to learn the combo and I start to move my body. So in a way, even though fitness and dance was so time consuming, it was just such a godsend. It was the one thing that allowed me to have an outlet to just release my stress. And even when I was like writing school papers, my mom would be like, okay, if you're stuck, like, go move your body. Like that works for you. And then I would come back and it would give me like a new perspective. And yeah, so that was a really blessing in disguise for my whole childhood and adulthood. Yeah.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah. There's so much of that population that we see, that really does need those resources and they need to hear more of that. So that's what's super cool about having, you know, people like you on the podcast. Like this is really where the vital wire comes in, that what's the vital information you need to know and who can you connect with? Cause if not us, like, don't just take our word for it. And I'm big on that in our practice is let me show you, like, I don't care what it is. I want to find out why it's happening, fix it. It's going to take time and repetition, like any good thing does, and any success or any skill takes time and repetition. But don't just take it from me. Like, look at who we have on the podcast. Look at who we're in connection with that has a similar story or has a story similar to theirs that they can connect with and find community in,
right?
Going forward and just to reach out. I mean, if anybody does, if anybody gets anything from us over the past year, especially with the podcast, is we just reach out and make an ask just like this. Oops.
Ooh.
Boom.
Malfunction.
Malfunction. But, and just make an ask, because whether it's a podcast or you need a vent session or, you know, hey, run a combo with me, or hey, do you want to go throw the ball? It's like those kinds of things are super important, but make the ask. And I love what you said is it's like, you know, some things are for some people. We're firm believers where there's a time and place for the things that you talked about for mm-hmm. sure. But I think 100%, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think anybody wants to be on more medication or have more of those things, and they would all solve it if they could. So your avenue of how you've gone about it, I think when people hear this and our dance community hears this, I think you're going to inspire people that you may never meet, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. It's so true. Like, just to reiterate, like, obviously some people, they need to turn to medication, but if that's if there's a route for you to explore without it, from my own personal experience, it's been really rewarding and it's made me so much of a stronger person to be able to find avenues to work through what I need to work through to where I've gotten today.
Yeah, that's awesome. And something that I don't want to pass up too was your mom even knowing how you function as a human. Like, you're stuck on a paper. She recognized that and then told you to go move your body. And I think that's something that a lot of our parents really need to take into consideration nowadays. Mm-hmm. They're so quick, not everybody, but a lot of people are so quick now to prescribe or to just band-aid it, like you said. Whereas if you start to really listen to each other, listen to your spouse, your kid, you know, your parent, and actually hear them out, I think a lot of us could all better serve each other that way too. So we're that's something
grind,
really
grind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure. It's super 100%.
Like, shout out to my mom and dad. They really were so in tune with me and just knew all the time, like, the right thing to say at the right moment and how to support me, which especially as a dancer, because you do run into, you see a lot of issues in the dance industry, from different mental issues to eating disorders. And mm-hmm. so I think having a strong support system to keep you grounded in all of that is so, so important. So shout out to you, Mom.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I would say, like, with everything you've mentioned, what advice would you give younger athletes and dancers specifically too, growing up in that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a tough one. If they were like me, I just would say calm down and enjoy the process, because there was a lot of moments where I was anxious, like, oh my gosh, am I going to make it as a professional dancer? Like, is it, like, am I crazy to think that I can do this? Is it? And it's like, no, like, always believe in yourself and your intuition and your gut. And if that wavers, turn to the people that know you the most. Like, that for me was, like, super big, like my family, my parents, and just calm down a little bit, because I think something I talk about this in my fitness journey too. And I try to really share this message. It's like, enjoy the process, enjoy the journey, because it really is never ending. And you might have a bump in the road, but that bump in the road is going to propel you into something different. So that would be my advice. Yeah. Just calm down, simmer down, child.
So here in our area, we have a university that, well, we all went to, it's our alma mater actually. And they just got through fall concert. And so now they instantly switch to national focus, and they've got choreography this weekend. The dance team does. So there's department and there's dance team, and some of them overlap, where some that are in the department are on dance team. And that's what Aaron and I both, Aaron coached that team. That has, she, not this year, but over the past, I mean, since you've been in school and throughout, but we're always telling them kind of the same thing. So again, thank you for saying what we're trying to instill in them too. Because yes, we're trying to be mentors, and she's more relevant, and so is Erica on the dance side, where I love empowering people. Like, we all have our issues and we all have our thought processes and our lack and things like that too, but I love empowering people. But for you to share from a professional dancer's perspective, and going from a town like ours, I mean, St. Louis isn't really that big, and you know, going to New York and going to school. And like you said, believing in yourself, we're always telling them that. And it seems like a lot of times they are just on to the next thing. It's like, okay, fall concert's over. Now I got to focus on nationals. And I'm going to focus so hard on nationals. And sometimes I wonder if they're so focused on the concerts, because I was a huge baseball player, baseball, football, racing. Those were my thing. And I can see this a little bit myself too. And with my experience, it's like, and I don't know if you've gone through this, but you get so focused on the next achievement, the next competition, the next thing. And sometimes I wonder if we get so focused on that because of exactly those questions and that avenue that you took. It's like, because New York is scary, I'm going to focus on, you know, the next trophy and thing and get way far ahead of myself instead of being present and looking at the real prize. But I'm so scared that I'm just going to focus on what is hard now and what's coming up next. Mm-hmm.
Well, 100%. And I talk about this all the time in my fitness classes. I'm on studio. I'm like, okay, once you reach one goal, you're then just going to reach for another goal, mm-hmm. and then another one. So like you can be super serious about the process, or you can learn to enjoy it. And back to your point about nationals coming up, the one thing I will add to that, that I also, I think is a super important piece of advice for any athlete is, enjoy when you lose or you don't perform the way you were expecting to.
Let's
because
go.
I tell my nephew all the time, who he's actually on his way to Spain right now to do a Real Madrid camp. He got invited.
Good and I was for like, him.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And I told him in his games, I'm like, it's almost better sometimes when you lose or you don't get first place, because those are the moments that are so hard, but they're going to callous your brain. They're going to build character, and they're going to give you that extra drive to come back and be even stronger. Like I cannot begin to tell you, like, I don't want to sugarcoat my dance experience or anyone else's. I think that we would all tell you that more doors have been shut in our face than have been opened. And that's so important to hold on to. And those were like the biggest lessons and the biggest growing opportunities.
Mm. I think I needed to hear that personally.
That's a wrap, folks. I'm not gonna drop this mic because they're expensive, but I totally would proverbially
so good
drop the mic.
It's so true too, because like it hurts so bad in that moment, but it propels you to that next thing. Mm-hmm. I tell my team that all the time. So I coach dance at a local high school here as well, like she does. Mm-hmm. And I tell my team all the time, I'm like, you have to, we always talk about the work is in practice to make your goals happen and achievement, right? So like, if you want to win state, you have to practice like you are going to win state, but also know that like those competitions in between state itself, if you don't win, we need to evaluate. We need to enjoy the fact that we got to where we're at, that we made improvements, and that you probably performed your ass off on stage. And then we need to figure out what's next.
I think you made a pretty good loop for me too. I'm a huge Kobe Bryant guy, and there's a couple different things that, you know, I take from, well, he said a ton of great things, but you know, practice is the hard work. Mm-hmm. Competition's the easy part. And if it's not, you need to switch it around because that's what it takes. But also too, is it's like, if you lose, I mean, if you have to change the word that you lost or you didn't make it, and change that verbiage to whatever you need to realize like it just got you that close, that much closer to being the best. Like you're going to be better, and in that loss you're going to be better en route to being the best version of you if you're willing to accept it. And so 100%. That's a great way to
and say. I love the part about practice, because even for example, even when I was going through the process of landing the job that I currently have as a trainer at Lululemon Studio, It was nerve-wracking, and it was one of those moments where like, oh, I just want it so bad. Like you just want, like you want to win like the top of the dance competition. You want it so bad. And there's a moment where you're like, wait a second, I have put in the practice and all of the work, and I know that I am showing up to the best of my ability, bringing my absolute best. And then once you know that, there's a comfort in it, and you can kind of just let go and say, well, it's out of my hands, but I know at the end of the day, like I'm doing everything I can to show my best.
Mm-hmm. That was actually going to be my next question, is how did you end up with Lululemon after, you know, your professional work? And then obviously COVID, you found your love in fitness again, but how did you end up with the studio?
So I will, it's a crazy story. What happened was I, to backtrack a little bit, I got back from tour, and I had done two tours, and I was kind of over the touring aspect of dance, and I wanted to be in the city, just do local jobs, but I also needed a steady income. And so I applied at Pure Barre, and that's kind of where I started my fitness journey. And then at Pure Barre, it really re-sparked my love for fitness. Like, hey, like I want this to be as much part of my life as dance is. And so I got my personal training certification, started personal training clients, just fell even more in love with it. And then I was like, you know what? I don't want to settle. Like I want to do even more in fitness. And so then I joined Gotham Gym, and I got all my boxing training from them. Mm. And then I also went on to Lifetime Fitness to Just kind of learn what it would be like to teach at a huge gym, kind of like an Equinox or a Lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you guys have something equivalent.
Mm-hmm. We have Lifetime here. So we love it.
Yeah, let's see what that's like. And that was an incredible opportunity. I get to like delve into cycling. And while I was there, I was like, I really feel like digital fitness is going to be the next thing. And my mom is 100% my momager. She was looking on this website. It's called Talent Hack. And she's like, hey, Ash, there's this company called Mirror and they're looking for personal trainers. And I think this would be a really cool opportunity. You should totally check it out. I was like, okay, cool. Like, thanks, mom. Like, she read an article, checked it out, went in and auditioned to be one of their first personal trainers. So there was four of us that were, there was only four of us that were hired at the time. The other one you probably know is Patricia. She teaches Pilates and yoga on the platform. Yes. But we were both hired together and we got this aspect of Mirror, this one product up and running, and we loved it. It was amazing all through COVID. When COVID happened and the studio shut down, like they sent me all the material. I had a studio at home. I was still training clients. It was so fun.
Oh, that's so cool.
And when I joined Mirror, I had this feeling that I would be with the company for a while. And I hoped that maybe it would lead to a live trainer position. But I was like not putting my eggs in that basket. I was like, let me just show up. Let me work hard. Let me show them what I have to offer as a personal trainer, bring the most I can to all these incredible clients. And then when COVID happened, I got a call and they're like, how do you feel about coming back to the city? And this was after obviously things had started to open back up. Mm-hmm. They're like, how do you feel about coming back to the city and auditioning to be a live trainer? It's like, I'm on the next plane. That happened, and then like I immediately put myself in a boot camp. Like my husband would tell you, like I was like, okay, it's on, like game on, like up to my workouts, like got myself prepared, like planned out my classes, would practice them like 20. It was insane how much I practiced so many times. And then auditioned, and then they brought us on as guest trainers. And then I guess my incredible community, you guys liked me. So thank you. That's kind of like how I ended up where I am today. And it's truly a dream job. And the best part are the community, and two, the people I work with.
I love that. Something else that they would know to ask you is, how do you go about your programming? Because something that I love that you say all the time is you keep your workouts simple.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it stupid, simple. And like you've mentioned multiple times of like the crazy trends that you see and like people throwing freaking dumbbells everywhere and catching them and like how that's not actually fitness. Like it's just, you know, glitz and glam. But so what goes into you, how you program your classes?
Of course. Shout out to, his name is Kevin Carr and Michael Boyle. I hope I'm saying his last name correctly, but they lead a seminar. And one of the certifications I have is the Certified Functional Strength Coach. And I did both level one and level two with them. And that certification changed my life. That is where I learned, like, keep it simple, stupid. And mm-hmm. So I go back to everything I've learned in those certifications with, in terms of how I program. But something that I pride myself in is I say, okay, we're going to do a squat and deadlift in almost every strength class. We're going to row, we're going to overhead press. But like now let me have a little bit of creative fun with it. How can I get these compound and these functional movement patterns to my community members, but alter how we do it? So like unilateral versus bilateral, AMRAPs, EMOMs. And so when it comes to programming, I try to always make sure I hit those important parts, but then find new ways to bring that movement to you so it doesn't feel so repetitive. Because mm-hmm. the truth is, maybe you heard it here first, like fitness is repetitive. Like we're mm-hmm. all the trainers, like we're squatting, we're mm-hmm. doing push-ups, pull-ups, rows, we've done that shit for years.
Right,
not changing. And so I try to really ingrain that in my clients, like, listen, like learn to love a squat if you get bored and you hate doing it over and over again, because it's so good for you and it's not going anywhere. And that's my biggest thing with I guess with social media in general, you see people do these crazy workouts or these like crazy moments and stories of things. And I'm like, y'all, that's for show. Like that's attention not, that's an attention getter. Like they're not working out like that behind closed doors. No. And the other thing I touch on in my class too, is in social media now you have to be really careful who you're taking advice from.
Yeah.
And I tell my members all the time, like, just be really mindful of who you are taking your advice from. Like, what background do they have in fitness or nutrition? Like, that is what you should be exploring before you take something that they say or a product that they're sponsoring. Just be super mindful of that.
Preach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we have athletes come in here and they're like, oh, well, I did this crazy workout that I saw on Instagram, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, right after they drank a full bottle of
C4. Yeah, I'm like, you don't need to do that. The body's not changing, so why are we reinventing the wheel when it comes to fitness too?
Mm-hmm. 100%. I tell people, I'm like, if you're confused about what to do and like maybe you don't have a digital fitness platform and you just go to the gym and you feel like a little unsure, you heard it here. Squat, a deadlift, do a bent over row, a chest press, and then like, you know what I mean? Like just big movement patterns.
Couple curls.
Start there and you're going to start to build up your confidence and you're targeting all the big muscle groups you need to be targeting and I say this a lot, like not to just, it's not about looking a certain way, but it's about feeling a certain way. You want to feel better in everyday life activities.
So we could go on for hours on this. We might have to do a part two because
I would happily do a part two. I'm like,
but
any knowledge or help that I can spread, I'm always down for it.
Yes. That's awesome. Cause you're super relevant.
Yeah.
You got a lot of energy. You have a lot of great background and knowledge in what it is you do. Aaron and I have curated something that we're calling the Pure Athlete Evaluation. So I am just going to offer you one free credit. Like if you are ever out in the St. Louis area, or if we come to New York and we find a studio to do it in, we would love to put you through our evaluation that we help athletes train better with exactly what you're talking about, because we do the same thing.
Yeah.
We put together strength training programs for them for how they need to train based on how their body is moving now. What is their function now versus just randomly going at it? So we are 100%, you are speaking our language. So if you're
ever out this area, I will gladly take you up on it. I will gladly.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is, I think as a trainer, the worst thing you can do is not go take other people's classes or learn from others. And so that's something that I always try to do. So I'm game, y'all.
Hey, you know, Tennessee's not too far from where we live.
So are you currently in NYC or where?
I'm in NYC. Yeah. So the studios are NYC. Tennessee is like, you know, go Vols. It's my hometown. Yeah. So I go back quite often.
Well, you let us know where we need to link up
and
we'll hop a flight.
I'm glad to go to New York.
We'll pinpoint a Greek restaurant in a studio and we'll make
we'll do it in the Greek restaurant.
So the first night we meet, we'll go to the restaurant and then the next day we'll work out and do the thing.
Then I'll make you sweat after the Greek.
Yeah. 100%. Sweat out all the garlic, right?
Yeah.
Well, with that, you heard her say we're going to hold her accountable. She already said she'd do a part two.
She did, on the record.
So before we make this way too long, which we could go forever, let's wrap this one up. Don't jump off here just yet. We're going to get off the air here. But thank you again so much. Is there anything that we can do for you or our listeners, dancers, athletes can do for you? Do you want to shout out some handles or anything? What can we do for you?
Oh, thank you. First off, thank you so much. This has been like the best first podcast experience.
Yay.
I think the biggest thing I would tell your listeners is something that I really take seriously. And I'm sure you guys know, is I'm always here and happy to help. Like my Instagram is Ashton Rothschild and I get back to every DM I get. It might take me a second, but I really want to make sure that any person that reaches out with a question or advice or just to say hello, I take with the utmost importance that it's important for people to be seen and to be heard. And so if anyone ever wants to reach out to me, do not hesitate. Yeah. I promise I don't bite.
From experience, she's not lying.
I'm going to give you a hug.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That's super cool.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Keep being you. Keep being awesome. We're a testament to that. If you reach out, she will answer you. Mm-hmm. So super cool. There needs to be more people in the world like you, Ashton. We really appreciate you being on, and super excited to grab some Greek food and work out with you.
Make you sweat.
All right, guys. Thank you. See ya.